You are listening to Punk News Podcast episode 572, and we're going to be all over the place this episode, and I don't care. First of all, people have been saying, John, where's Tammy B? John, where's Sam Barrett? John, where's Samantha Barrett? John, where's Samantha B? And like, John, did Sam and everyone hate each other? John, did Sam quit Punk News? No. Sam, first of all, is essential to Punk News, the website, as she's always been. But Sam is, listen, Sam is an important and busy person running the New York school system. When the, I don't know, the dean of the New York public school system said, Sam, we need a modification on program E314-B, Sam's like, I'm on it. You know, when the lunch ladies, they say, Sam, we're running low on plastic trays. We need 1,400 orange ones. She's like, I'm on it. You know, when the school bus drivers say, Sam, you know, we don't know if we should pick up little Johnny McKiggins on 4th Street or 7th Street. Sam's like, I'm on it. Sam's been very busy. And Sam wants everyone to know she all loves you. Well, she didn't say she loves you very much, but she generally likes some of you. So she said she will be back soon. But she's got her things going on. And so, listen, you all just have to be patient and you should be thankful and blessed when Sam is there. And also, you should all get on your knees and thank Sam for running a big part of the Punk News .org website, and you should get down on your knees and be thankful and thank M Moore for being part of the punknews.org website and running a lot of the news articles. M Moore, what's happening?
Well, thanks so much. I finished my year end list and I'm running on very little sleep. So, yeah.
There you have it. M is sleep deprived. And also, you all should get down on your knees and thank and hail Hallie Blood for bringing the sensitivity, but also the firm position, but also the thoughtfulness, but also the passion and the heart to the Punk News Podcast. Hallie Bullitt, how are you doing?
Well, great after that description. Feeling really good.
Well, here we are. We got a lot to cover today. We're going to be covering, Talking Heads, Avail, High on Fire, sort of, Georgia Mac. We're going to be covering CJ Ramone, Effed Up, and Tesco v. the Meat Men. We got some mail. But also, first of all, people, 2 weeks away, Punk News Summer Soiree 5, a.k.a. the New Year's Eve Mega Bash with Colleen Green, with Joe Jack Talcum's band, which is Joe Jack Talcum of the Dead Milkmen, D'Andrew Stevens of the Dead Milkmen, and Marshall Fisher on drums, full three-piece electric band. I haven't been, like, making a big deal out of it because I don't want to, like, nail Joe down, but every single time I've seen Danjo Mar, which is Joe's electric band, they do a ton of Dead Milkmen stuff, and if you like Joe's Dead Milkmen stuff, it's basically a Dead Milkmen concert with just Joe's stuff, and it's totally rad. Also, Crazy in the Brain doing a special performance. Also, Froggy, sponsored by 7-Eleven, will be playing the show as well. December 31st, we're going to have everybody that comes gets a goodie bag. One of the many things in the goodie bag is a free record. We're going to be doing a ball drop, and it's going to be one hell of a shindig. Colleen is psyched. It's Joe's first electric show in over a year. It's one of Colleen's first shows post-COVID. She's got her amazing new album. It's going to be awesome. Tickets at eventbrite.com. And come on out, people. It's going to be totally rad. Philadelphia, Philomoka, December 31st. Doors at like 7:30, I think. And do not be late.
That's so fun. That's going to be such a fun show.
It's going to be rad. And also, yeah. Em and Hallie and Em, do you guys want to hear John talking about seeing Surfboard and Ween? Do you want to hear John's petty record convention conflicts? Do you guys want to hear Vintage Bachelor Party Escapades number 2, or do you want to hear John's psychic Alice Cooper connection?
Oh, those all sound good. I mean, I definitely want to hear you talk about Ween and Surfboard, like, for sure. That sounds great. Also, anything involving psychics sounds good to me.
Well, we'll do Surfboard and Ween, and if we have time, I actually don't have a whole ton of things to say, but I'll say this. So I saw Surfboard about a week ago, and I saw Ween about 5 days ago. Surfboard was the first time I've seen them live. I've been kicking myself for missing them and Amo and the Sniffers at a record shop about 4 years ago. That's the last time they were in Philly, I think. And Surfboard came, and they played the Underground Arts in Philadelphia, the small room. And honestly, it wasn't that packed. There was only about 80 people there, and I think that's because it wasn't promoted great. But also, astute listeners may remember John being like, I wonder why the second Surfboard album wasn't more heavily promoted. That's so weird. That seems so weird to me. Yet again, I was right. Yet again, no one should ever question my judgment, because indeed, why was the second Surfboard album kind of like not well represented in the public consciousness? Internal management problems, as we now know from John's interview with Danny Miller. So yet again, I was right. I knew something was weird, and I was right. Anyways, Surfboard played the Underground Arts. Danny Miller was there. First of all, First of all, they were so fantastic. The new Surfboard album is one of my favorite records of the year. Live, they were everything that I want from a modern punk band. They were loud, berserk, but the songs were really good. The songs actually had, some of the songs had like almost like a glam influence, but Danny's like weird, but like angry sometimes and funny sometimes, and just totally jacked up and like raw and loose and not perfect. And it was, and they did a ton of songs, and it was great. She I didn't realize how tall Dandy Miller. She's like 6'3", and she had on like boots, so she was like 6'4".
Wait, is she 6'3"? Wait, are you exaggerating?
Well, I'm 5'11", and she was definitely at least 3 inches taller than I am. So she's at least 6'2", you know.
We're talking 6'2" with boots or 6'2" without boots?
6'2" without boots. When she puts on her boots, she's even taller.
What?
Yeah, she's really tall. I didn't know. And honestly, it makes me, and also, like, she had, like, her hair is, like, puffed up. So she's even tall. And it's, I mean, it's rad. I mean, I think it's totally odd. It's like, and she really is kind of like an alien. It's like, who is this alien creature? Her hair was all done up, like, in all these different colors. She had on her, like, her Sue Catwoman-ish makeup, you know, and she's always dressed like totally funky, and she comes out and she's totally who she is, like in interviews, she's like, yeah, this is so rad to be here, yeah, you know, and you can tell she's extremely intelligent, because much like some other artists that like ad lib, like she'll be talking and she'll realize just by the thing she said coincidentally, there's a joke in the thing she just said, so she'll bend it back and like underline the joke. She's like, so anyways. It was totally awesome. And also, I will say, is, and this annoys me, on Punk News, we've made a point, say, a lot of, and I hate keeping them up, a lot of the dirt bags, or as Hallie says, general internet trash, they're like, this band looks like smell. You know, this band looks ugly. You know, it's like, well, you never say that about, you know, we're going to talk about Avail or Hot Water Music. Those guys wear flannel in Florida in sweaty clubs. I'm sure they don't smell too great either, first of all, but you never say anything about them, you know. Second, it is, I don't even know if it's relevant to say this or not, but they're like, oh, you know, Danny Miller's like really good looking. Like she's a Gucci model. You know what yeah. I mean? It's like sometimes yeah. she, I don't know. Sometimes she dresses weirdly or not quote under, you know, traditional models of beauty, but as a standard woman, if you will, she's gorgeous. So I don't know why everyone says she's ugly, or at least at Punk News, she's not. That's weird, right?
Well, because she doesn't care. Like, she doesn't, I mean, she cares very much about her look, right? Yeah. Like, she's very fashionable. She's clearly making, like, very, very specific choices about her look, but she does not give a shit if that look is pretty to you. Yeah. You know? She yeah, just true, doesn't true. Care. And
well,
people
she's
are so.
Too, what can I say?
People are so disarmed by that. Like, they can't.
They're threatened by it. And we're going to talk about that later, actually. And I love, frankly, how the remaining general internet trash really is threatened by that. I love that.
Yeah.
They do love them, you know what I mean? They are
You feel it. Like, their fear is, like, palpable, right?
Like we post yeah. certain stories that, like, no one gives a shit about, and they don't say anything. And they really – and also we'll post, like, about Steve Ignorant or Penny Rimbaud or Zounds or Anti-Sect, and they won't do anything. I'm like, this is punk. This is punk as it gets, you know? And they won't – or Poison Idea, and they won't say anything. But Danny Miller's what upsets them, which that's yeah. kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, and I think she would be totally fine with that, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, the music is rad, and I love her personality. She's like, oh, this is so rad, yeah. Philadelphia. Yeah, that's great. It's great. Anyways, then I saw Ween. I'm a pretty big Ween fan.
Me too, John Gentile. I can't believe we haven't talked about this before. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Love Ween. Yeah.
Ween's great, right?
Yeah. And I got to record, I recorded at Hot Water Music in Hoboken, which they had also recorded at, like, back in the day, like when I was I'm still into them, but I was like super, super into them at the time. So that was like very exciting. So sorry, go on.
So
yes, Ween is amazing.
So what's your opinion? And this brings up, what's your, you know, Ween used to be a punk. Well, to me, they still are a punk band too. Well, sort of, it's kind of, but they were a punk band or a great abrasive alt rock band, kind of like Butthole Surfers. And then after the Mollusk, they didn't really change that much. I mean, they became smoother, but the fan base went from the punk indie underground audience to totally the jam band scene. Like if you go to a show now, it's like 85% jam band people. People with, you know, their little hats on, you know, they live in Colorado, even though they live in Philadelphia. Like, and it, like, it's a total jam band. What's your opinion of that, Hallie? Because I've got very, very specific opinions here.
No, I don't know what to think about that. I'm surprised to hear you say that. I didn't realize that that was who their fan base was. Now, I didn't know really, like, I feel like I learned more about their early days as a band when I watched that. Shit, what was the Jersey venue that they just did that documentary on?
The Garden, City Gardens.
Yeah. What
do you mean, Maxwell's?
No, City Gardens. Like when even as a Ween fan, I felt like I learned like more about their early days when I was watching that documentary, which was awesome. Sorry, I've gotten us really off topic. You just wanted to talk about the Ween show.
I used to not like the later day Ween stuff because it's a little too smooth, but I've really been coming around to the later day Ween stuff too, which I really, I'm getting my second crack at a band that I love. It's like, here's another discography you haven't checked out. You know, what's your favorite Ween album?
Chocolate and Cheese.
Really? See, I love Chocolate and Cheese. I think my favorite is Live at Stubbs. And then after that, even though the Mollusk, I love the Mollusk, even though that's the go-to one, but Mollusk, Chocolate and Cheese, even White Pepper these days, God, Ween, Satan, such a great band. Such a great band. Anyways, so, Emma, are you into Ween or not yet?
I haven't had my Ween moment.
You will. Ween is so good. Ween is so good. It's the first time I saw them, I hated them, and this I didn't even know anything about them. Cool. And I was actually covering a music festival in Asbury Park for a Ridgivation magazine on my third ever paid assignment. But I don't know if that counts because they never paid me. But I didn't know anything about Ween, and I hated it. But it's because and then eventually it clicked and I got it. And like once you understand the idea of Ween, it's so good. Anyways, so Ween is awesome live because they literally play like 40 songs and all their songs are only like 2.5 minutes mostly. And like the band themselves are so good. They usually do two night stays, so they'll do about 100 songs or almost between the two nights. Like they never repeat a song like during a stay at a place. You know, it's crazy. Also, their keyboardist Glenn McClellan, Hallie, super deep trivia question that I don't think you're going to know, and I wouldn't have known until I ran into this. What other band does Glenn McClellan play for?
Oh no, I don't know. What?
The county fair version of Blood, Sweat, and Tears with Bo Bice, the front man, singing. And I know this because two jobs ago, my law firm that I worked for would have basically county fair type acts. We had Three Dog Night. We had Blood, Sweat, and Tears. We had War, but only one guy from War. And it was honestly, it was cool. I mean, it was really, really cool. And so I see Blood, Sweat, and Tears set up. I'm like, that's Glenn McClellan. And so I go up to him. I'm like, you are Glenn McClellan of Ween. And he was like embarrassed that I can't. So luckily I had White Pepper in my car. I grabbed it and I had him sign it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so funny. Wait, why was it just in your car?
What's that?
Why was it just in your car?
Because I have CDs in my car all the time. Because I have like a lot of CDs in my car at all times and I happen to have a Ween CD in there.
Do you have a CD player in your car?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I won't ever buy a car without a CD player. I hate it when I rent a car and doesn't have a CD. I hate it. I will never buy a car without a CD player.
I haven't had a car with a CD player in about 6 years, 7 years.
I use my CD player constantly. I love it. Oh, you were asking me why I have a CD in my car, assuming cars don't have CD players anymore.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, well. So anyways, I saw Ween. They did about 40 songs, and it is amazing how good the band sounds. And deep Ween fans know that for a while, Gene Ween and Dean Ween hated each other. And if you listen to the Gene Ween album called Freeman, he kind of goes into detail about it. And what I like about that album – I'm going off track. I don't care. what I like about that album is he's brutally honest, and he doesn't come off looking good. But I don't mind that because he's being so honest. Like in that album – he says he's got a drug problem, and he blames the rest of the band for not taking care of him. Well, if anyone knows that's been around a severe addict, it's like you take care of it for a little while, and then you just get sick of it. You know what I mean? And he's not like, I feel sorry. He's like, you guys are dicks, blah. And also he makes fun of the fans because they're too intense, which I love that he's being that honest. You know, but anyway, the point being is that caused a real rift between Gene Ween and Dean Ween. And so nobody knows, are they just back together for the cash or because they're at least kind of friends again? They did joke around a little bit on stage, but that can be deceiving. So who knows? Anyways.
I don't know. It seems like they don't know. I mean, it seems like they're going to continue to play as Ween because they don't know how to be anything else. It's not even like about their relationship so much. It's just that that's like what they, it's not even who they are. That's like what they are as beings, right? They're Ween. What are you going to do? Stop being Ween? They don't know how to be anything else.
Well, it's both the Ween split up bands, the Dean Ween group and Freeman were basically Ween, but not as good. You know what I mean? So I will say, man, Ween makes a ton of money, and I'm glad they do. They deserve it, you know. But Ween is like the Misfits or Leftover Crack, where like the people just want Ween stuff. And I first noticed this at Misfits, and I think maybe Danzig started this, but I'm not sure. A big thing now is to sell, quote, signed prints. And more, what do you think a Misfits and a Ween signed print, like, poster of the show costs? Do Misfits first, then Ween.
Okay, I think Misfits is going to be...
signed by Danzig and Jerry only.
$300. And I think
only $100, actually. So it's quite the bargain.
Oh, that's not too bad.
What do you think a Ween poster was?
Okay, now I know this one, so... $75.
So there's two posters. There's one of Gene and one of Dean, and you can buy them separately and together. What do you think separate? What do you think together?
$25 separate, $50 together.
Hallie Bullitt, what do you think?
I was gonna guess $50 together.
$150 each, and people were buying them like crazy.
Really? Good for them. They're just like, they know they can get that money. They're like, that is wow.
So people were shouting $300 for a sign, for essentially a sign. But the poster was real cool looking, but man, $300 for a poster. Like, anyways, people can do what they want. You know what I mean? I will say, Ween fans are like jam band fans now, and jam band fans really are obnoxious, like always bumping into you. And they have no chill. Like, they're chill, but they have no chill. You know what I mean? And I was sitting next to this one guy, and like every song, I'm sitting next to this one guy, right? And honestly, I was really annoyed for like the first two songs. I'm like, John, you're being a dick. Like, just enjoy the show. Don't worry about the people next to you. You know what I mean? So I got over it. And I actually had a real good time. But this dude, like, every song he would like hold out his hand and he would like twist his neck and like stick out his tongue and like close his eyes, kind of like a dog drinks water, sort of. And he was like lapping up the air, you know? And he was like twisting for every song. He was like doing these moments and he had like these dances for every song. I'm like, oh, like maybe this guy's mentally handicapped or something, you know? So I'm like, oh, like I feel bad for this guy, you know, because he's doing like these weird, almost creepy poses. and I'm not trying to be like, I used to be a Guardian monitor, so I had a lot of I would check up on a lot of, we call them residents that are what we call incapacitated in law, and sometimes just they do strange, what we would say is strange poses. They can't help, you know. And so this guy's doing this. I'm like, wow, I'm kind of surprised this guy's at a Ween show. And then after it's over, he starts talking to his friend, and he's like totally normal, like a normal guy. I'm like, what is this guy doing for 3 hours? He's like licking the air. So
just feeling the music, man.
He was great. And then after the show, I go outside, and like there's literally dozens of dudes selling helium balloons. I'm like, that's weird. Like adults, like why would an adult want a helium balloon? That's weird. And then I turn around the corner, and this is how I like people are doing whippets right and left, like. And I gotta say, man, if you want to look unglamorous, pay $20 for two balloons and then sit down on the sidewalk and start doing whippets. You want to talk about
desperate? You're not doing it because it's glamorous. You're doing it because you're just—it's funny, and you're just doing a whippet on the sidewalk.
honestly, it looks pretty pathetic to me. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my god, you know. And so I thought it was really funny. So I took a picture, I put it on the Punk News Instagram, and all these people are like, take this down right now. You're a narc. And I'm like, listen. If you are so immature that at 45 you're spending $20 to do whippets and you want to sit on the sidewalk and do whippets and look not even as cool as a heroin junkie, which does not look cool, then you deserve to get out on the internet. You know what I mean? And then a few people were like, it's Philadelphia. Do you really think the cops are going through Instagram trying to arrest people for doing whippets? You know? So it was a scene, man. It was a scene.
I'm with you. The jam band crowd. I don't know. I played Bonnaroo with the Gethard Show years ago, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers were like one of the high what, why can't I know the word? They're like one of the acts headliners. Thank you. So I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't really want to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but like I had like them back, like Mother's Milk. Like I had like them in their early days. So I was like, well, let me just go. I'll see them play. I'm an open-minded person. I'm sure I can get something good out of it. Like, right? Like, why not? And then like I tell you, like my main memory of that set is just this kid in a Cat in Hat hat. Who was like from that exact scene that you're describing, John. And it's like, all I can remember about that set is like how annoying the Cat in the Hat
yes.
kid yes. was. Like he defined that experience for me. It was like so annoying. So yeah.
Go ahead.
And you're right. You're exactly right. It's like they harsh your mellow.
Yeah.
With their like need to display their like mellow. Right. But there are like their joy of the music or like whatever it is. You're like, get that away from me. I'm just trying to watch a band. Get away from me.
Right. It's like it just keeps coming into your view because they're right next to you. Or yes. The worst is when they got like long, greasy hair and they keep backing up and you back up and they keep backing up. And it's like, you're not really, you're backing up into me. And there's like literally 20 feet between you and the next person in front of you, you know? So.
This is such a specific memory that you're acting like this is a thing that happens all the time. Have you multiple times had someone with greasy hair backing up into you?
I've gotten at least like 5 mouthfuls of greasy hair. No joke.
Amazing.
Anyway, so Ween is great. I'm not a huge fan of their fans, but Ween's cool. Ween's great. I would go see him again. But yeah, man, Ween's great. I was going to do some mail, but I was talking about Ween for so long that I guess I won't. So we'll play some. Sadly, the Scowl show has been canceled due to COVID, which is bumming me out. So let's play a song and come back. You guys want to play songs from this week's discussion?
I feel like there's like a lot of releases that we're talking about, though. Are they? Oh, well, like there's the
You feel like there are or there are not?
There's not. There's the Camp Cope woman. We could play that.
We'll play Camp Cope though. In the second slot. Emma had like, so tell you what. Everyone's gonna play a song this week of their choice. M first, yeah. Then Camp Cope, then Hanley, then me. M, what's your pick? Anything you want this week?
Okay. Yes, I'm excited about this. So there's a band and they're out of Halifax and they're called Like a Motorcycle. And earlier this year, they released a cover of 122 Hours of Fear by the Screamers. And I have been listening to this song pretty much nonstop. They bring in like guitars and bass and it's ominous and then it just like fucking explodes and it's so good. So this is Like a Motorcycle doing 122 Hours of Fear.
and that was Like a Motorcycle covering one of the greatest bands ever. Excellent choice. Let's talk about another. Well, certainly the Screamer should be in the Library of Congress. Here's something that now is in the Library of Congress. Library of Congress recently announced its additions to the National Film Registry. Return of the Jedi was added. I think Taxi Driver might have been added. So I'll tell you in a hot second. But also added was the Talking Heads concert film, Stop Making Sense, released in 1984 at the height of the Talking Heads' fame. It's routinely considered one of the greatest concert films of all time. It was directed by Jonathan Demme, and it is now part of national history, much like the Constitution or Ben Franklin's letters or Thomas Jefferson's deed. It's arguably equally important now. Other things that were added to the National Film Registry also include, Lord of the Rings, Long Goodbye, Nightmare on Elm Street, Pink Flamingos, Requiem 29, Return of the Jedi, Richard Pryor, Ringling Brothers Parade film from 1902, Selena the film from 1997, and Wall-E, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Happy Bullet, Stop Making Sense. One of the greatest concert films of all time, or just kind of good?
Oh my God. I think it might be the best one of all time. I just think it's, I think it's so exciting. I think it's like it's one of the best movies, right? It's just, I don't know. I think what they did there was just so unique in that, you know, here I am in the age of COVID and I'm really not that interested in attending online shows. Like I really, really wish I was. Like I was gonna stay up late and watch the New Pornographers they've been doing that tour where they're just playing Mass Romantic, and I was like, oh, I want to see that, and I like couldn't go to the actual show, so I was gonna watch the live stream, and then I just like couldn't even make myself stay up for it. I just like I'm not that interested in I just like live shows, man. I like live shows, but Stop Making Sense, I feel like I was at that show. The way it's shot, the performances, the absolutely like beautiful, quirky intimacy of it. You feel like you get to know each band member, like if the backup singer. You feel like by the end of that movie, you feel like they're all your friends. It's completely amazing. And I don't know that much about this in terms of like, this seems like a big honor to be recognized in this way. Do you know like how film people feel about this? Do they feel the same way lots of people feel about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is where it's like they're not really people argue about how legitimate it is or whether anyone should really care about it? Or is this just like I wish I knew more about film? Like is this really just like everyone thinks this is an honor and it's a legit recognition? Do either of you guys know?
You know, I never had pondered that question, and you're totally – I have no idea. I mean, to me, it seems like a big honor, but you're right. Maybe to film people, like, I'm sure that – my guess is that I don't know. But, you know, in any level of academia, there is pointless squabbles. So they're very well maybe squabbling over that, you know. I don't know.
I don't know. I think this is cool. It seems like I don't know much about it, but it seems like it's a huge honor. And I think that this film deserves every huge honor it can get. It's just like it's the best. It's absolutely the best. It's so joyful, right? It is like to me, this is like actually just such an absolutely joyous like party that you get to be a part of from the comfort of your own home. And I love it.
And more, the modern rap is that David Byrne is a cold, mean person, and that he mugs for the camera and seems friendly on camera where he's not friendly, according to all the other talking heads. But the counterattack is, well, you know, sometimes bands fight, and he did write all the songs. He did write a lot of most of the songs. So when you got one guy being a creative weight, sometimes it's not always easy to be nice, you know, as per Architecture of Self-Destruction, the Wars of Love and Crap. what's your take on the modern day David Byrne and also Stop Making Sense?
I think modern day David Byrne, I think everything he does is an act. I don't think there's, and I don't mean that in like a, in a bad way. Like, I think that's just how he's choosing to come off at different points. I think it's all part of like his story and his mystique. I think he's built different layers. So like these people have this perception of him, but these people have something different, and it'll just all kind of come together and it'll be like, well, what do you believe? You know, I think it adds I think it's done on purpose. And kind of adds mystery or something. The film is really, really good. It's one of those things, or like how it starts with like him just walking out and playing the boom box and the, as the acoustic guitar and just starts singing. It's like, that just like grabs you, and it's so simple and it's so, you know, there it is, but like you're just hooked and stay that way through the whole thing. So I think that's great that it's been added as a film to be preserved. Like, I think that's pretty cool. I don't know what film people think of it, but it does seem to be only good things. I was really surprised when I looked at the like other movies that were in this year, and like Nightmare on Elm Street was in, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's getting recognition. So that was exciting. But
I love Top Making Sense. I used to not like Talking Heads at all, and then about 3 years ago it clicked, and now I love the Talking Heads, especially the first, you know, 4 or 5 records. One thing I will say is, I'll tell you who doesn't get enough credit, man, Tina Weymouth. Tina Weymouth is friggin' awesome.
Isn't like, she a fucking goddess? She's amazing. Sorry, go on.
I mean, like, she's such an important cat. Like, where David Byrne, you know, even though, like, one of the things, particularly in Stop Making Sense, is David Byrne is doing all these James Brown-inspired moves and Tina Turner-inspired moves, but he does them kind of cold and mechanically. And so it's a neat contrast. Dave Bowie kind of did the same thing. You know, it's neat contrast. Like, it's what used to be soulful moves, but has now been reduced to like this weird, super skinny guy doing these robotic, almost jerky moves. And then by contrast, you have Tina Weymouth on the bass, like, who is just really living the spirit of the song, that it's really serving as this interesting contrast, who is really moved, you know, quite organically by the music. So I love the contrast. Also, Tom Tom Club, man, that band does not get enough credit. Like, I've got all their albums. They're all their albums are like really good, you know. The first one's the best, but they're all really good. And so that does show that the Talking Heads isn't just David Byrne, particularly his post-Talking Heads career, if you will. And I'm not trying to diss on David Byrne. He's an amazing guy. But, you know, it's a difficult thing to wrestle with. But, you know, what I will say is I've had this bumping around in my head since before COVID. I don't know how many more normal live shows I'm going to do. I'm going to do at least a few, I think. But I really was inspired by, after I became a Talking Heads fan, I was really inspired by Stop Making Sense. I've got this vague idea for a live show that's inspired by Stop Making Sense, where it's a live show, but things happen on stage during the show, and it's kind of like a play, even though it's live music. I mean, I'm going to say this. I haven't even run it past her ever. But, like, what I really want to do is, like, halfway through the show, have someone wheel Marissa Paternoster out on a hand truck, and she's tied to the hand truck, right? And they put her on stage. They untie her like a refrigerator. Then they plug her in, and she does, like, an incredible solo. And they unplug her, and they put her back on the hand truck and wheel her off the stage. Like, I want to do a show of, like, a whole bunch of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So if I do it, it's going to be called The Black Pyramid, and I've got an idea for the grand finale. But the challenge that I have is, A, like, will people be interested in a whole bunch of different bands, or do I have to make it about one band, which I'm not opposed to? But the other thing is, I think I want to film it if I do it. So that means I'll have to do, like, some rehearsals, right? Well, that's a lot of time and money, too. You know what I mean? And therein is the challenge, you know? So
I love it, though. I mean, whatever. Like, I love, like, big visions like that. They just – they do. They take a lot of – work to make them a reality, you know?
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe Black Pyramid in 2022. Or maybe not. We'll see, you know? okay. Here we go. Here's something that is not – did I say – here's something that is also going to happen in 2022. Hot Water Music is reissuing their first album, Satiate. The new version will be out on self-released, I think? Yes. Yes, self-released. They're self-releasing their first album, Satiate. Avail has traditionally been a huge band at Punk News. The Punk News people love Avail. Hallie Bullet, how do you feel about Avail? What's your stance? And actually, here's something that's weird. Guess how many, like, you know on Bandcamp, like if you put something up, it shows you people that bought it that are registered with Bandcamp. So it gives you a rough idea of how many people bought it. Like, you can buy it without being a registered Bandcamp fan, you know? Yeah. But I'll give you, so how many people you think registered have bought this?
I have no idea. I have none.
7.
Oh,
really?
It's like way too low, doesn't it?
I mean, there's a lot of factors, though, right? It's like a band that's not as popular as it used to be. People don't buy music. It's like, right? What else do you think is going into that?
I think that's it. What is crazy is, like, we do have a distorted view of the music world as punk fans in that, like, something that gets no press, that no one talks about online, that like the young people or the hip people are into it, and it's always like some like super mashed up like hyper pop record that is like kind of difficult to listen to, but it's sort of based on 80s pop, but it's like super morphed and whipped. That'll have like literally like 3,000 purchases, you know what I mean? And so to the punk news always like Avail is so huge, and it's like, no, Machine Girl is huge, you know. Avail is something that most people don't care about at all, you know what I mean? It's weird.
I mean, I used to love Avail, you guys. Like, I used to love Avail. And they were hands down one of my favorite bands to see live, which is good because they used to tour so much that you, even like not living in a city that they were from, it was like they were on so many bills. If you were like going to punk shows like back in the day, like when they were releasing like Over the James and like that kind of stuff, it was just... I feel like 1 out of every 10 punk shows Avail was on the bill, no matter where in the country you lived. They seemed to be able to be like everywhere at once. But yeah, I mean, I don't totally follow them anymore, right? Like, I don't even just reading this, even just, you know, doing my homework to make sure I knew how to talk about this story. It was like I the last release that they had put out, I hadn't listened to it. I did listen to it today and I was like, oh, this is fucking good. Why did I stop paying attention to Avail? Like, it was still legitimately good. So yeah, I don't know. I'm into this band. I think this reissue will be cool, and I mean, I don't know really, I don't have much else to say about it except like, yeah, why not?
And more, does Avail move you or do they lose you?
I never listened to Avail. And I listened to a bit of Satiate because it's on Bandcamp now. So I listened to a bit of that. It's not what I was expecting. I thought it was going to sound a lot different. But, you know, if that's your cup of tea, that's your cup of tea, and that's good. And right now they're not for me, but yeah, John,
what you more what than, it was more what than you thought it would be. Like, no, I'm not asking you to like,
yeah,
rake them over the coals, but you were expecting in general what, and you got what?
Heavy.
Yeah,
from their name, I think I thought they were gonna sound really like really heavy, and I thought they were gonna sound really fast. And they didn't. They sounded a lot lighter than I thought they were going to.
Now, you know that they had a guy that was just like their dance, the dancer on stage? They have a band member that just dances on stage. Maybe if you knew that, maybe you wouldn't have expecting such a heavy sound.
I didn't know that. I have to look up live videos.
What's
now.
What's that guy's name, John? The guy that just dances.
You know, I don't even know.
Oh, he's funny. That's a good guy. That's a good band member to have.
Well, there you have it. Every band should have a member that dances on stage. Yeah. But let's see here. Here's a band that does not have a band member that dances on stage. Matt Pike of High on Fire and Sleep is now issuing his first solo LP. The solo LP is called Pike versus the Automaton, and the lead single is out now. You can check it out on Decibel or basically anywhere. The track is called Alien Slut Mom, and even though it is a solo record, It's really not. It's him and two other dudes that are not in High on Fire. I'll kick this off. I love Sleep. I like High on Fire, but the reason I'm not a huge High on Fire fan is every song is exactly the same. And Pike is embraced it. He's like, I want to be the new Motorhead. I'm like, no, Matt, no, don't be the new Motorhead. Like, because even, like, honestly, no one cares about Motorhead after the first four or five albums, Frank. I mean, it's sad, but true, you know, because it's the same thing over and over and over. And Pike is so talented, especially in Sleep. It's like, High on Fire would be one of my favorite heavy metal bands of all time if they changed up the sound, if they did some trippier stuff, some slower stuff, and kept the fast, you know, charging onslaught. But High on Fire, every single song is, which I love that sound, but I don't love it for 50 minutes straight, you know. So I wish I loved High on Fire more, but I just like High on Fire. So I was thinking, oh, well, he's doing this solo thing, which he's saying is psychedelic, like, maybe it will be exactly what I want. And then I heard Alien Slut Mom, and I thought it was good, but it basically sounds like High on Fire to me. You know, there's a couple portions that are a little bit psychedelic, but it's like, it just sounds like High on Fire again. I don't even know why we're not just calling this High on Fire. I'm holding out hope, because I want this to be good. I'm holding out hope that they did the High on Fire is track, so the High on Fire fans aren't like, oh, Pike sucks now, you know, and then maybe we'll reel him in and maybe we'll have some, like, super trippy, like, maybe we'll have some acoustic tracks, maybe we'll have some synth tracks, maybe we'll have just some, like, you know, far out Hawk Windian type tracks. And I'm really hoping, if the album is that, then that's what I've wanted from Pike all along. We'll have to see. I will say his voice is mixed very low in this, and I hope that's just, I guess what I would say, a choice that I would not have picked, as opposed to sometimes when artists blow out their voice, they either put their voices real close to the microphone or they bury it in the mix to kind of hide that. And I hope that's not the case here. And more, I know you're a fellow headbanger like myself. You're actually more a headbanger than I am. What's your stance on High on Fire? What's your stance on Pike versus the Automaton?
Pike versus the Automaton is a great album name. Like, I'm picturing the cover, you know, because I have an idea of what I want it to look like, so I want to see if that's how it actually turns out. I really like Sleep. High on Fire, like, they have some good songs, but, you know, like, they're okay. They have really cool album covers. but I thought the song was interesting. I thought it was good. I found it hard to focus on the song because of the video. Because I was watching what was happening in the video and, like, was more, like, interested in the video, and the song kind of became, like, a backing, like, background. So watching them together, it was really hard, but then, like, just listening to the song on its own, I think it's good. I think there's going to be a lot more, I think it's going to get weirder, like, the more, like, if he releases another single or on the actual album. So I'm definitely going to check it out. And I think this one is draw people in and get people excited and pique their interest. I really love the video. I thought it was great. It has, like, an Evil Dead vibe to it. And, you know, they're driving up to a cabin in the woods, and there's music in the truck, and the camera's, like, gets out, and there's that, like, that loud, silent sound, and the camera's, like, zinging around, kind of like in Evil Dead, and they get into the cabin and have fun, and then shit goes sideways, and there's aliens, and it's great. So really liked the video. The song's good. Looking forward to hearing more. Hallie, what did you think?
Yeah, like, very similar. Like, it's hard to separate the song from the video because the video does draw you in. Like, the video, but is the video supposed to be funny, or no? Because I thought the video was kind of funny. It's, yeah, funny, right?
I thought it was.
Yeah.
So I think so.
Yeah. that was like intentional funny, right? Or not unintentional funny. But yeah, it's like follows like some of the like traditional like horror movie rules, right? They go to the cabin and they immediately start doing a bunch of bad shit. And so you're like, oh, well, people, according to the rules of horror movies, if they're up to a bunch of bad shit, then bad shit's going to happen to them. So, oh, and then when they go leave the cabin and go walking out in the woods, you're like, don't do that. Why are you walking out in the woods, man? That's how you get dead. But yeah, I don't know. The video was like entertaining. It made me like the song, I think, better than because you guys know this isn't totally my taste. But I think the video made me like the song better, or it helped me access the song, I think, in a way that I wouldn't have been able to without the video. So I think that's what a good music video does, right? Like it opens up like another door for you to like get into a song, and the video helped me do that. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't like love this, but I like, yeah, it was like fun. The video was like fun to watch, and it had enough things going on that I liked that I would say I gave it a thumbs up. John, were you, did you like this? Oh, you said that you liked it. Yeah. Did you like the video?
I liked the video a lot. I thought it was real funny. I like how Pike can take very serious topics and then also be kind of like, honestly, Pike definitely is the archetypical like perfect like metalhead, in that like all his songs are about like the existence of the universe or traveling through time and doing acid or something, you know. But then also like it'll be like, yeah, you know, weed's great, yeah. So you know, acid's great, or, you know, or, yeah, just hang out in the woods, you know. So what, you know, he walks the line, not walks the line. He exists both in the, you know, lovable knucklehead metalhead headbanger, but also, you know, solemn, secluded metalhead philosopher. He's both at once, you know.
Now, he described this album as like as being psychedelic. Would you describe this as psychedelic? Am I missing something?
Musically, we can think of psychedelic in kind of two terms. A, there's, you know, psych rock, which is Nuggets, which really like now like if you listen to like, you know, the Barbarians or the Seeds or the Human Beings, that like that's all like psychedelic rock. It doesn't even sound that crazy, but at the time it did. But then also, you know, in the 70s, we had psychedelic with like Hawkwind or Emerson, Lake and Palmer, or so it's kind of like trippy, you know, sort of suggesting on acid. Was the song psychedelic in that sense to me at all? There were a few parts where it was kind of what I would say Hawkwindian, which is kind of like drifting, the feeling of being in space, you know. But I guess you could argue lyrically it's psychedelic if you read the lyric, but it's hard to tell what Pike is saying sometimes, you know.
I had no idea what he was saying.
So no, I would not say this sounds psychedelic. I would say it sounds 3% psychedelic. I'm hoping the album has some songs that are straight up like 70s space rock psychedelic. I'm really, you know, like Sleep's got some songs like that. So that's what I want from him, and I hope I get it, you know. But you know, we all want something in life, and we don't always get it. But if you try sometimes, life is fine. You get what you need. And here's what punknews.org, the website, needs: is a video by Georgia Mack. Is for the song Joe Rogan, and it has vocal clips from Amy of Amel and the Sniffers and PJ Russo of Nightbirds and Sarah Thompson and Kelly Dawn of Camp Cope. Of course, Georgia Mack is of Camp Cope. I think this is a standalone single right now. I had a hot take on this, but it wasn't even a hot take. It was a hot contemplation because I hadn't come to a conclusion. But then after seeing how it was received, I'm putting my hot take / hot contemplation on the back burner for what I consider to be a more important battle.
And that battle you would consider what?
Okay. Thank you for asking, Hallie. Listen, man, like, in a way, we should stop talking about commenters because they don't represent the website. But on the other hand, is people that read the website thinks – like, people that aren't super into the website think that the commenters do represent our readership when it totally doesn't. I can't tell you how frustrating it is when I'm out in the street. People are like, oh, yeah, you know, punk is great, but you're too bad about this. I'm like, no, no. These pricks that come every day, all day long, I've seen the numbers, and they don't represent the readership at all. And like, as I said a million times before, compare our Facebook responses to the punknews.org website responses, and it is totally different. So it really doesn't. So that's one thing. The other thing is these creeps do give us stuff to talk about and give me things to think about, but also these creeps, by existing, let me know they still exist and they need to get wiped out. So here's, you know, we posted this video. And it's just creep after creep after creep. What the hell is this garbage. I actually love this because there's always seven or eight, but there's seven or eight creeps on the website that all day long they bag on me, which I honestly don't really care at this point. It's mildly annoying, but I don't care. I don't lose any sleep over it. I forget that it exists until I'm like, oh, I'll read the comments and see what's going on. And then I realize these guys exist again. But one of the bigger creeps says, John G would probably argue that this is the future of punk music, and if you had just left a nice comment, that punk news would get 6 million visitors this month. Which, that's a statement. This guy bags on me all day, every day on the website. That's a statement that I said on the podcast, but I've never said on the website. So that means he listens to the podcast, which I am honored in that, like, these guys hate me, but they listen to the podcast, which is like,
it's so bizarre. I'm with you, John. It is really, yeah. it's hard to wrap your brain around.
But that is a mark that what you're doing is an impact. If you have haters, that means you probably have fans too. You know, that's comforting to me that like people are listening. You know what I mean? And I will say, anytime at Punk Rock Bowling, you talk to people, oh, I read the website, and they always seem much more reasonable than these creeps. That make comments, you know what I mean? And so the point being is the commenters don't really represent anything. They're really just dedicated creeps that live in a basement. I've met three trolls in real life, and every single time they were exactly what I thought they would be. And one time the guy literally started crying in front of me, which was great and depressing. You know, I feel that sort of, they'll tell some other time, unless you guys really want to hear it. Like, he started crying in front of me, you know? So anyways, the fact is, I didn't love this video. I actually thought the song was just not that good. But I do love how Georgia Mack, just like Danny Miller of Surfboard, it's so thanks to M1 and Sam Barrett, we are posting more articles these days than we have in years. I mean, sometimes we're hitting 20, 25 articles a day, which is crazy. Usually we try to hit about 8 or 9. We've been hitting 20. You know, it's so, they don't comment about effed up. You know, they don't comment about let's see here. They don't really comment about interrupters or rentiers or drug church or even talking heads, but they feel the need to comment about this. So I'm glad that this video is kind of so threatening to them that it's kind of making them uncomfortable, because they're not going to change at this point. They've had the chance to change. And honestly, I'm not saying you got to love this. I don't really like the video. I don't really like Camp Cope. You know, I don't even agree with a lot of the things that she says. I do like she's dogging on Joe Rogan, but she's not even really dogging on Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is so insufferable. I mean, he really is, you know. But anyways, the point being is I forget where I was going with this. I like that she's upsetting creeps. You know, I like that a lot. And honestly, if she's upsetting creeps, that means she is kind of doing more punk damage than, you know, your run-of-the-mill maximum rock and roll D-beat band that only, you know, people actually listen to, but most people don't. And they're like, oh, yeah, Bloody violent plague is so great. It's like, well, they're just saying things that have been said since 1982, and they're not doing anything. Whereas she, with this video about Joe Rogan and a bad date, is upsetting all these creeps. So she's kind of having a greater punk impact than the guys in, you know, Battle Vest, which is kind of cool. I mean, I don't dig the song, but I dig the effect. And so I actually wanted to kind of pick this apart, and I had some, I would say, criticism, but I don't want to, because there's so many creeps hanging around. Maybe my criticism isn't useful or helpful at this moment in that context. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Still, I don't know. Still, I think it's fair for you to, I think it's fair, if you feel like it, to say what your honest take was on it as a piece of music and not as a knee-jerk reaction to, you know, like a lot of those commenters were having against. I mean, I'd still like to hear what your thoughts were about the video. I'm with you. I liked things about it. There were things I didn't like about it. I don't think it's like a perfect thing that she put out, but it's definitely interesting. It's definitely interesting how much conversation it's sparked, for sure. And it's not just on punk news. It's like, I read like the YouTube comments are kind of all over the place, you know, everything from people loving it to people echoing some of the same sentiments that were on the punk news site. I mean, what's interesting though, is that the punk news conversation is really just that one side, right? It's just that.
Yeah.
I think just no one else wants to engage. It just doesn't seem like worth engaging.
Well, like, what's the point?
Do you know what I mean?
these creeps are so far in their basement, and they are.
Yeah.
You're never going to change their mind. And, yeah. And what it is, and here's what it is, and I believe that before we lay it out again, because it's worth saying. I've met three of them in person, and every single time, all three of them hit this exact mold. They're not happy in general, right? Things in their life aren't how they want them to be. You know, they're threatened, and they feel because they haven't achieved certain things they want to achieve, and now this is coming along and is distorting or upsetting their universe even more. They're scared and frightened, and they're not able to change their circumstances. And that's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. That the world isn't. I'm not where I want to be at in my world, and my world is changing even more. And things that I want to be true are no longer true, or never were true. And now I'm even more distorted and upset. And I don't know what to do. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't see Jello Biafra going online and talking bad about Camp Cope. He doesn't care about Camp Cope. They haven't even said it's top bullshit. But he's not online crying about it because he's got shit going on, you know?
Yes.
Let me think of someone else. Like even Black Dahlia of the Dwarves, who I don't think has a big fan. I'm a huge fan. Black Dahlia isn't on the internet talking about Camp Cope. He doesn't give a shit. Black Dahlia is Black Dahlia, and he knows he's Black Dahlia. You know, Glenn Danzig. You know, who I sure would – well, I'm not sure. Who knows this Glenn? You know, he's not on the internet like crying about Camp Cope. He's making his terrible movies that I still enjoy seeing. You know what I mean? It's like it's never someone that's done great things in life on the internet doing this shitty stuff. It's always losers, you know, that – it really is. You know, I get freaked out when they have kids because a lot of them do. Oh. You know, that's – anyways.
Yeah. But we just quickly, separate from the conversation around it, what was your just your personal response to the song and the video? I'm just curious to know.
So I don't have a firm stance, and I don't have a this is what John thinks and this is what John thinks is right. I was thinking about this and I haven't come to a conclusion. So I don't want anybody to take John's words out of context. This is what John was thinking in his mind. And he hasn't come to. I think reality is this. I'm looking at all the different factors that exist. So, all the things that are in effect here. There's a lot in effect here. So let me draw another example. If there was a guy that wanted to talk about social equality and financial equality, and he did a music video. But the whole video, he wore nothing but a thong, you know, a banana hammock. It would be funny and it would be hard to take him seriously. You know what I mean? Because it's like, well, if you want to be serious, then maybe sexualizing yourself gets in the way of that. Here in the video, she's in a bra the whole time. And sometimes she's in her panties and she sings into a vibrator. And so if she's making the point that guys like Joe Rogan and her boy and this bad date, if she's making a point about that, is it hard to take her seriously if she's doing and actually she does like what we'll say classic 90s hip hop pose, which appear to objectify women, like she's doing that throughout the whole video. Now you can make the argument that, well, that's the art in of itself, in that she's doing these cliche things in a sort of non-cliche manner while talking about sexual dynamics and race dynamics and all those things. I would say that's an interesting art piece, but I don't know if it takes any steps towards moving that conversation forward, if you will. And this is what I'm saying is, if she's showing, you know, if she's wearing skimpy clothes and she's making herself out to be a sex object or she's doing a sexualized performance, does that get in the way of the serious underlying message? And I thought, well, what if it was a guy in a banana hammock? It'd be hard to take that guy seriously too. So I don't know even know if that's a gender question. You know, maybe it's just a sexual versus being. You know, I mean, like if you went to a funeral in a bikini or boxer shorts, it would be weird and rude, and people wouldn't like that. So maybe sexualization isn't appropriate for all realms of discussion or topics, or maybe they are, and just as a people were getting to that bad. But then again, like I don't know if I want everything to have a sexual aspect to it. And I think that's probably unhealthy, and I think it does cloud conversations. I don't know. These are the thoughts that I'm having. I don't have an answer.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. I appreciate hearing all of that. Yeah. I think you put the video somewhat in context for listeners, but you know, just for. Just to kind of help listeners like be clued in, right? This song is like both about Well, here, this is what she said about it. She said, I made this song alone in my house. It's a burn on myself because of my historically bad taste. I think she's implying in men. It's a song about leaving a bad date because you realize you don't have to sit around while some guy defends Joe Rogan and smokes a Gatorade bong. It's about a very unique experience that isn't actually that unique. I think it's pretty relatable. So this the song I found confusing. I'm glad I looked that up because it was unclear to me that she was singing kind of about this date. I thought maybe the whole song she was singing about Joe Rogan, and I found that confusing. So I'm glad I looked up what in the world the song was about, but I also don't feel that I should have to. So you know what I mean? Like that I'm not sure how I feel about the songwriting with that. But then, yeah, like John, like you're saying, the video, she's, you know, in like various states of undress. She's doing a lot of like stereotypical sort of like sexy times things. But the video is very rough. It's clearly she's very empowered. She's very in her own power through this whole video. And then a lot of what got the bad reaction online is that she's flashing you her nice, hairy armpits, you know, with all this like sexy stuff also going on. And lots of people think unshaved armpits are sexy. I had them for many years. I don't anymore. So I've lived on both sides of that line, my friends. But I don't know. Like, I just felt like this had so much potential, but it for me, it just kind of lacked like a real focus and a real vision. Both, I would level that criticism at both the song and the video. It was like there was really something interesting going on there, and I just didn't feel like it was quite for me, like, yeah, I don't know. That's the only word I can think of to describe it. Just wasn't like focused in the way that or maybe even polished in the way I wanted to be. Like for me, the song is like, it's a good pop song. It's not a great pop song, but it's definitely a catchy pop song. And I do think it sounds like it was recorded, you know, like at home. It's not the actual production sounds a little bit rough to me. And the video, I don't know. I found it very like liberating to just sort of see like a young woman just basically doing whatever the fuck she wants. You know, but I wasn't so sure why I was supposed to be more interested in it than say just like a video. I don't know. What am I trying to say here? I wasn't so sure. Yeah, just that it was like a great artistic statement. I thought it was like a good artistic statement. I felt like there was potential there, and it just could have, something about it could have been more focused. That's what I'm going to say. I hope that has meaning for anyone. Does that have meaning, what I just said? But I don't know. I think the conversation around this is definitely interesting, and I do like to see young women just kind of doing whatever the hell they want. And it is always like funny and interesting and disturbing to me how many people just hate that. They just hate it. Oh my God. Like they can't deal. Just want to shave her damn armpits. Like, okay, move on with your day. It is like so upsetting to people. I don't know. I hope she finds it funny. You know, she seems like a very confident young woman. I hope she either does not read comments, or when she does read them, that she's able to like laugh at sort of just how sort of sad a lot of them are. Just, you know, it's that whole thing that we always say about the internet. It like doesn't really need to be said again, but you can't help but think like, well, how many free hours do you have in your day that this is like these sort of like just shitty comments like that. You chose to write that out and you chose to press send. It's baffling to me. Sorry, I've been talking too long. Those were all of my thoughts about this.
How do you have so much time that you can watch an entire video that you don't like and then reply to it? Like, but if it's a video, I'm like, yeah. I watched literally like 6 seconds. I'm like, I don't want to watch the rest of this. And more, solve this problem.
Oh, okay. So my notes for this video, they're a full page pretty much. So first of all, Camp Cope released a song, I think last month or the month before, ran a story on it on Punk News. Like nobody cared. Nobody commented. None of that shit. And then this comes out and it's like, you know, welcome, you know, like anyway. So one of my notes that's in all caps is we are all mammals. And as we know, mammals are hairy fuckers. So before saying someone's pit hair is gross looking or offends you, you also have armpit hair, and shaving your armpit hair sucks, you know? So just like take a step back, calm down. It's not the end of the world, and it's not, you know, you can do whatever you want with your armpit hair if you think it's gross. You want to shave it, shave it. You want to dye it, dye it. You want to do whatever you want to do, like do that, you know? It doesn't matter. It's anyways. I thought the video was really like, yeah, Hallie, like what you said, like she's very empowered, very like liberated, just going about her day, doing what she wants to do. Just like, I thought a lot of the stuff with kind of the like singing into the vibrator and everything was just making fun of a lot of stuff. And like tying in with the lyrics, and it's like, oh, you know, you're expecting, you know, like a woman who's just going to sit and listen to you talk about some horrible person for, you know, and not have thoughts and not, not talk and just be there. Well, that's not how anyone is, and, you know, and everything. I think it's great to see this, and see like the confidence that she exudes. Because again, like one thing that I've noticed is, you know, I'll be like doing something and I'll get like really weird thoughts where it's like, oh, I shouldn't, you know, just like sit that way because it's not ladylike, or do this because of, you know, how it'll be perceived. And it's like, where do those come from? Because that's not like at my essence, you know. So seeing somebody who's like kind of shedding all that and being like, yep, here we go, here it is, I'm making this my own now, I think that's great. So I really like the idea of it. And I thought the like the song and the video, like they were fun and they were interesting, and they do make points and do make you think. I think they could have gone a little like deeper, but I think what they are has started something like a conversation. I think that's always a good thing, and always good to see like women who are confident in who they are and in their sexuality, because that's not something we see a lot. And I know growing up, that wasn't something I was exposed to very often, if at all. So it's great to see.
Well, they have it, and more songs. Good work. Let's play. Georgia Mac's song. This is Georgia Mac doing Joe Rogan, and we'll be right back.
If regular men are rubbish, then Georgia squeezes the juice out of the rubbish and then takes that.
He sits there smoking the voice of Joe Rogan, and he thinks that I'm alive. Friends always say I got real bad taste, but I will never stop. You could watch me leave. You could watch me go home. Curled my hair cap right there just to go home. You could be anyone. There's nothing more dangerous.
with your art.
We're back. We're running a little long, so we're just going to slam through some of this stuff. Effed Up have released a new video. They've released a video. It's a truncated form of their brand new album, which is now officially an album and not an extended EP or an extended 12-inch single. According to the label and the band, it's an album. Year of the Horse, they released a video for Year of the Horse, which is about 14 minutes long. I absolutely love the Year of the Horse record. I think maybe it's the best thing they've ever done. The video itself I liked a lot. The video was actually like really well done, but you can tell it's low budget, but they embrace the low budgetness of it and kind of make that high art, if you will, which I think is really well done. I think it highlights the cool parts of the songs, especially the Western theme parts. I would say it definitely has a a lot of things these days have a Wicker Man slash I ask you every time, what's the name of the movie that's kind of like Wicker Man but it's new?
Midsummer.
It's kind of got like a Midsummer vibe to it. And I dig it. I think it's real cool. I think Effed Up is on fire right now. Two things to point out. A, this only has like 4,000 views, which must be really defeating. A, it might be Effed Up's masterwork, and it's only got 4,000 views. B, you put all this hard work into something and only 4,000 views. Meanwhile, like, people would rather watch Camp Cove and complain about it. Or, you know, you post some just generic thing and everyone goes insane over it. It's like, you put all this work and you just get 4,000 views. I really hope it doesn't deter Effed Up. I don't know what kind – and Hallie and I had a slight, I don't want to say disagreement, but different perspectives on the goal and idea behind Year of the Horse. I hope that this isn't a deterrent to them, and I hope they continue to keep doing these big, broad, reaching things. Put a period there. Also, this is pure speculation on my part. Is Ben Cook not effed up anymore? Because he's not listed anywhere on the record. He doesn't seem to be mentioned with the band. The band hasn't released a new press photo, which bands usually do when they put out a big release. And so Effed Up's going on tour real soon, and I'm going to see him, and I'll be venturing to see if Ben Cook is still in the band or not. I was kind of sad that he wasn't listed on the Year of the Horse credits, because I like Ben Cook. I think he's a weird guy, and that's what I like about him. And I just like that he's there, because he's such kind of a weirdo, and Effed Up has so many different personalities. So I hope he's still in the band. But I really, what we could do is we could compare Effed Up tour dates and the upcoming No Warning tour dates to see if there's a conflict there. And that would kind of somewhat answer our question. Hallie Bullet, Year of the Horse, 4,000 views, total bummer, or it's about the art, man, not about the fame?
Man, you guys, I was so bummed out. I could not. I had just lacked, what is it? I couldn't buy in. I just couldn't buy into
this.
You're
the horse?
You're the horse, no. I liked parts, and there were parts that I would say I just sort of lacked buy-in for parts of it.
Podcast over. I
hate that. I'm not just saying this to appease you. I did really like big pieces of it, and I liked that they took a big swing. There were so many things that I liked about it. It's just like I said, when there was like parts of it that seemed like really like Renaissance Fair, or like I don't know. There were parts of it that I just, and that's what it is. I can't even say I hated it. It's just I just didn't buy in. There was just something about it that I was like, they asked me to go on a journey with them with this big swing they were taking, and I just like couldn't quite get there with them. And I felt the same way about the video. I liked pieces of it. There were definitely parts of it that I was like, oh, is this maybe like cringy or like really bad? I like really wondered if parts of it were just really bad. I thought it, I mean, I'm a dancer. I didn't like the dancing. I just couldn't buy in. I didn't really like the performances. I didn't. I don't know. I thought it might have been pretentious, you guys. I just thought it might have been like kind of.
There.
Listen, I like that they took a big swing. I do like it, and I support that, and I think they should continue to. I did watch this and wonder if it was horseshit.
You're the horse.
That's just my honest opinion. But maybe you take a big swing and maybe you make some horse shit, but like, I'm glad you did it. You know, I would never watch this again.
I would say the pretentious attack is probably the strongest attack one could take on this record if you were to attack it, which I wouldn't, but Hallie, that's all right. On a side note, and then we'll get to M. Hallie, I've never seen Grease, and then yesterday I saw about 15 minutes of for the first time ever, and I thought it was really bad, and I thought the dancing was bad. Is the dancing bad in Grease? Because I feel like it's bad.
I haven't watched Grease in so many years. I don't know. Yeah, it's probably terrible. I haven't watched it in so many years, I can't weigh in on it now.
Like in my mind, like it was like Saturday Night Fever, where like, well, actually I've never seen Saturday Night Fever all the way. In my mind, it was like a really good like music. Like I knew it was stupid and cheesy, but I thought like the actual dancing would be good and like the songs would be good. But all I saw was like bad dancing and bad songs in like 15 minutes. I'm like, what? Enmore, you're the horse. Bad dancing and bad songs, or great dancing and great songs.
I want to see a Year of the Horse and like Grease. Oh no! Oh my God! No, Fucked Up does Grease.
Oh, that
oh
would
my
be.
God, that would be awesome. So
Year. I love Year of the Horse. As the album. And I have such like when I listen to it, I have such a visual or I guess such a vision of it. Like I can picture it really, really vividly. So anything that kind of goes against that really bothers me. I liked parts of the video, like when they all of the nature shots are just like gorgeous. They're really nice. And I liked the stripped back, like here's a horse head and you know here's a wooden gun. I liked that whole thing. I thought that was kind of cool. My favorite part of it was when they were on the beach and the Western music starts playing and the dancers come out and like do the dance. I thought that was really cool. I'm sure there's a lot I missed in the video just because it was so jarring, like to see, you know, not what you picture, but like, again, that's a good thing, you know, because you have more. You have different perspectives, which is always good. So I'll watch it again. I liked the majority of it. And one thing I thought was really, really cool was in the credits, they list Coven as their caterer and, they filmed in Hamilton. Coven's in Hamilton and it's run by the, Vile Creature duo. So I thought that was really cool. It's like everything ties together.
Also interesting. The cinematography, coincidentally, was done by Scarface of the Ghetto Boys. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
No, I just made that up. That's not true at all.
I was like, what are you talking about? I know the director was like some like Canadian TV star.
It was not. I lied. Okay. But listen, here's something
I love
else.
That we bought it, though. Your delivery was very convincing.
Yeah. Here's something else that's jarring and shocking. CJ Ramon is putting out a beer, but you can't get it here. Why? Because it's down in South America. It's only in Argentina. It's called American Punk. And the art, honestly, is influenced a lot by what the hell's the guy's name?
Ed Roth.
Ed Roth, who also was a big influence, or maybe even did the album art for Word Out, if he had the final Ramones release and live album. The beer is a Pilsen, and it's out soon. If it's not out now, you gotta get it in Argentina. I've got a very strong take on this. Everyone hated this. They said, did he release a beer, or did he cash a check when a South American brewery wanted the word Ramona on a beer? I hear this is a watered down replacement for a much better tasting beer. If I didn't see the name printed on the can, I would assume this is a Rob Zombie product. You're all a bunch of assholes. All right, listen. CJ, if CJ is good enough for Joey and Johnny, he's good enough for me, first of all. B, it's not like CJ like kicked Dee Dee out of the band. Dee Dee said, I don't want to be in the band anymore. So they said, well, we need someone. So they brought in a guy that honestly did as good a job as anybody else could do. No one can fill Dee Dee's shoes, but CJ did a really good job doing it. You know, CJ's a nice guy. D, I would say poo-poo on Joey and Johnny because CJ didn't get paid dog shit for like it really was a bad plan of Joey and Johnny to underpay CJ pay for their tours, because it's like, if they just paid them like reasonably, then after they stopped being the Ramones, they would have had the world's best spokesman. They'd be like, he could say, I love being in the Ramones. We had so much fun. I got paid good. Nothing but good memories. Hurrah, the Ramones. But instead, because they really kind of paid him just enough to keep him there, but, you know, not super happy or annoyed, then the story is, I was in the Ramones and they fought a lot and I didn't get paid hardly anything and I've got some mixed feelings. But now the only thing I can do is do music because I spent my 20s in the Ramones, you know. So I really think that was a really bad strategy. And honestly, just not a good look to underpay CJ. I mean, honestly, the thing with the Ramones is, oh, they never made any money. That's BS. I mean, Johnny Ramone retired at 54 in L.A. They made plenty of money. Not David Bowie money, not Mick Jagger money, but good money, you know. So they could have paid CJ, you know, more than they had to, but not so much that they would feel at the end of the year, frankly. And CJ would have been the best spokesman in the world for him. And it said, you know, CJ had no marketable skills by the time he was 30. And what else could he do but play music, you know? And so I would say anything that gets CJ money that is not, you know, unsavory, and making a beer certainly isn't unsavory, I'm all for. And I'm glad CJ's getting paid. He spent the best years of his the years where you learn a trade in the Ramones. And that's the sacrifice he made for us so we could enjoy the Ramones, because somebody had to do it or else you don't get the Ramones. And so if this gets him paid, I'm all for it. I have nothing but the best for CJ. Also, this is weird. On the Punk News Instagram, when I posted the people doing whippets outside the Weed show, CJ messaged us. He said, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes are playing California right now. And he's in Me First and the Gimme. And I got to was he mad that we were like covering Weed or something? And so I said, CJ, when you guys play Philly, I'll be there. You know, and I'll point out that I was at CJ's last Philly show with CJ and Dog Party, and there was literally like 15 people there. It was a real bummer because it was like really badly promoted. But listen, CJ, us covering Ween doesn't hurt you. I'm a big CJ fan. I like CJ. I like him live. I like his albums. Hurrah, CJ, and I'm glad he's getting paid. And more, agree or disagree?
I agree. I don't have a problem with CJ Ramone. I think he's pretty cool. He's put out good music. Anything to get him some cash for sure. Why is it only in South America though? Like, you think if it was a wider, well, I guess because it's the
because the breweries in South America. Yeah. But like the breweries probably small brew. I mean, not like there's a million small breweries, and this one probably had the idea to do a CJ beer, and they're like, CJ will pay you 50 cents a can, and it's just you know.
Yeah. It would be neat to have it, like, as a wider release, too. Hallie, what did you think?
Yeah, I have no problem with this. Again, it's like one of these things, like, why do people choose to get up in arms about stuff? I mean, I guess it's a little funny, right? It's a little corny. He probably didn't, like, it's not like he helped them develop the beer. But, like, that's, I don't know, it's fine. He, like, lived in Argentina for a while, right? Didn't he? He has, like, a connection to Argentina. I think the Ramones are big in Argentina. So, like, why not? It's a beer. It's going to make some people happy. Some people think it's cool. I did have a question about the artwork, John, though, right? Because you're right. It is very, like, Ed Roth. And I was wondering, like, is that just Ed Roth's artwork? Or is that, did someone, like, just rip off his style? That was like, kind of the only, like, question I had with, like, is this cool or not cool, you know?
Good question. Let's see if Ed Roth did a cover of We're Outta Here. Let's see here. Well, I'll look it up while we hit our third and final story. And also, I will say the CJ doing the Crusher and Warthog, great tracks, man. Great tracks. So shut up, haters. Listen, here's something that's amusing, and then we'll wrap this one up. Tesco V of the Meat Men has been a vintage toy collector, I think, even since before even the Meat Men started. And now he's got a toy store. It's actually inside a toy store right now. The toy store is Thrift Witch in Old Town Lansing, Michigan. And Tesco, like, posted a bunch of stuff that he's selling, and it looks exactly like you think it might be. It's vintage toys from the 40s through 80s. And he's selling some records and some concert tees and all that kind of good stuff. And you can go and buy Tesco's stuff. I will say one of the prized records in my collection is that, not the last Punk Rock Bowling, but the one before that, they were selling some of Jello Biafra's personal records, which they do once in a while, just when Jello just feels like getting rid of some records. And the weird thing is, like, you would think, oh, it's Jelly's record collection. It's probably going to be like all Ramones and all, you know, Alternative Tentacles and all, you know, I don't know, you know, Discord or, you know, all obscure punk. But a lot of it's just like bad 80s bands. You know? Like, well, of course he's getting rid of it, so he probably doesn't want it anymore. You know what I mean? So, but like not even like Warrant or anything. Like just like bad 80s bands that like never did anything. It's like, why does he have this, you know? However, one of the prized records in my collection, Jello's got this whole thing where, like, he loves Hino, and he claims that when he used to have all these parties, and when people would hang around too long at the parties, he would play Hino to get them out. I don't know if I believe that story, but whatever, that's fine. You know, but I will say is that, like, he loves the Hino joke much more than anyone else loves it. And I'm as someone that loves hammering jokes to the point where everyone else hates it but you still love it, I love that Jello loves Hino. One of the prized records in my collection is I have one of Jello Biafra's Hino records. So I think this is cool that Tesco's doing this.
It did make me feel like, I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know. This is cool. It's in Lansing, right? Isn't that where Meatmen were always from? Like, isn't that their Lansing people?
Meatmen were from Lansing. They were from Washington, D.C. and right up the street from me, King of Prussia. There were three phases of the Meatmen.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know. It's cool. I have a friend that I have like a close friend that's like a vintage toys guy. Like you can make quite a bit of money. That's like not that can be a very profitable like arena to be in. And I don't know. Yeah, it seems cool. It feels like culturally it'll add a lot to like the Lansing scene. You can go buy some like weird, crazy vintage toys and some records. And I mean, who doesn't like a little shop like that? It's cool.
Yes, that's what I thought about it. I think it's cool to have a toy shop.
Yeah, I thought it was neat. It's an interesting like place to open up. And those stores are always so cool to go in and like look around and, you know, like can't buy anything because everything's insanely expensive, but it all looks so cool. And everything, the picture that goes with the story, there are two things that caught my eye with it. They're called Party Killers, and I don't know what they are, but one looks like a set of werewolves wearing jeans, and I think one is a plaid shirt, and the other one looks like it's like wearing a leather jacket. It's like those are cool. I want to know what those are. I think it's really neat. I also think the naked woman might be haunted.
Every 6 episodes, M. Moore's got to bring up hauntings and ghosts. She just got to drop it in there.
It's in my contract.
Well, I would say that pretty much all women are haunted by the internet trolls that won't let them have a little bit of armpit hair. Yeah. They want to have a little bit of armpit hair. Get over it, you creeps. Anyways, Hallie, let's play a song. We'll come back and we'll wrap this up. What do you want to play?
I didn't really think about it. I don't know. I was listening to this today and it brings me so much happiness. So I'll play Magic Words by Modo. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Down the magic world.
also played some Moto. Great band. Kind of underappreciated. Also a really weird guy.
Oh my God, the weirdest. And he like once hit on me like from the stage, and it was like really kind of like terrifying. But also, what a great band. But yeah, like a true weirdo. He's a true weirdo in the way that like, you know, kind of like, I don't know, that punk does best. You know, just these like misfitty kind of like geniusy kind of really like kind of something's off about them kind of guys. But that's like what I mean, you listen to his lyrics, there's like, it's definitely like his art comes from the fact that he's just such a weird dude. So you gotta embrace it, you gotta love the Moto.
The CJ Ramon beer comes from the flip side of the picture disc of his album Reconquista, which was his first release, and the cover art was done by Go Fukasawa, who is a somewhat known artist that is influenced by our Rat Think fellow.
Nice.
So there you have it. Listen, you can always use the podcast at punknews.org. Oh, next week is next week the Christmas episode.
Oh, it is.
So now we got a lot on the punk. So listen, there's a bonus episode with Ricky and myself, and I still have to mix it and do it, and I'm going to try to get up real soon. Next week's going to be the Christmas episode where we're going to play a bunch of Christmas tunes, which is going to be kind of fun. Then I think we're going to do a regular episode. Then we're going to do our end of year, New Year episode. So a lot of stuff popping on the Punk News podcast. Stay tuned, and we'll see you next week.